MyLowe's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Real ghost stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode, your calls, your stories that you guys have submitted into us. We'll go through all of those. Excited about that. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also email in your audio file if you want to record it on your smart device. Send it over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's the ways to get us your stories. Of course, you can write them in as well on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. I don't know if I already said that or not, but there you go again, just in case.
Okay.
Now, everyone knows every way.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can spray paint it underneath an overpass.
Not a good idea.
And send us a picture. Not a good idea, and you shouldn't do that.
No.
That would be really creepy. You know, it'd be interesting, though, if someone, like, did our logo somewhere and then sent that. Not endorsed, not asking you to do it, but...
You suggested it, so there you go.
I would say don't do that. That would not be a good idea.
Yeah.
Not responsible whatsoever for any outcomes to that. That would not be a good thing to do. But actually, we're going to end up doing it behind us. We're not spray painting it, but we're gonna like paint it up there.
We're going to do the brick look and then paint the logo over it. So it looks kind of like it's on the side of a building. In the olden days.
Yeah, almost like an old sign, if you will, like for produce, except this is for ghost stories.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool when we have that done behind us as part of the video stuff that we do. Speaking of video stuff, I was just looking at some stuff that some listeners sent in, and I found a brand new video. I didn't find it. A listener sent it to us and found it. Remember that we talk about it quite a bit when it comes to toys and stuff, the haunted Toys R Us. That we've had stories on. And I remember it from the Unsolved Mysteries episode, but there was actually, it was done on another show back like in the 70s.
Okay.
About that Toys R Us.
The same one in Sunnyvale, California?
Yes.
Okay.
I got the video and I'm going to play it back on our next Facebook Friday Live. Or actually, by the time this thing airs, it will probably be on the previous week. So if you want to see that, go back about a week or so. on our Facebook page and look for the live video stream of Friday Live. That's kind of the live stream I do during the day on Friday at whatever time I have some open time.
Sure.
And it'll be on there. I'll play it back on there so people can see it. But it's actually, it was in the 70s. It was on, like, I believe it was a Believe It or Not type show. Mm-hmm. The host of it is actually, the host's name is John Davidson. And
okay.
I'm actually friends with his son because I've done some work for his son through several different projects over the years. And it's just kind of funny because he was like the host of game shows and stuff in the 70s and whatnot in the 80s. And his son is like a life coach or
okay.
a VIP coach is what mm-hmm. he goes by, a career type counselor and coach. And I've done some voice work for him over the years. But it's just interesting because everybody's wearing like leisure suits talking about ghosts. It's great fun. And it really, I watched it and, you know, get past the leisure suits. It's a good ghost story and some really interesting images
okay.
on it. I didn't know that that piece even existed. It's always fun when I see the old ones mm-hmm. that kind of come out that you didn't know around. So anyway, that's I'll play it back on Facebook Live. It'll be up there. Look at the previous live streams over the coming weeks. Other interesting little tidbit of news we can talk about in just a little bit. Clowns in the woods luring children. This is very messed up.
It is. Has any child been harmed or gone missing?
Not that I'm aware of,
okay.
but we'll go through that story in just a little bit. And this is where you need to be more afraid of people than ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
But just the topic itself, several listeners had sent it in to us. And it's like, what the hell? And you have to go, what the hell is wrong with these people? Because I'm pretty damn sure this is not a paranormal event, but still just creepy as hell. We'll talk about that in just a little bit here at Real Ghost Stories. Online. For now, though, let's go to our first caller. This is Carmen. Hi, let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Tony. This is Carmen. I've called in before about one of my students telling me a creepy ghost story about a clown. I wanted to call in and share a small little ghost story I had that actually happened inside of my school recently. So my story goes like this. To first, I should tell you where my classroom is. My classroom is outside of the school, actually, inside of a trailer, which is normal for most resource rooms because schools like where I work are only K through 8th grade because it's a parochial school. But they don't really have room for a learning resource room, so I'm out in the trailer, which actually I have it better than most teachers because I have air conditioning and heating that's really nice all year round. So I'm the lucky teacher. But with that comes some of the negative things, like I am cut off from all the other people in the school. So I teach all morning with my students from 8:30 to 11:45 without another break. And I basically have to hold my bladder all that time. So usually around 11:45, I take my students upstairs and I let them use the bathroom before we go down and walk to lunch. So this day, I couldn't hold it. I had been holding it all morning and I needed to go to the bathroom. So I sent my boy students off to the bathroom and I looked in the teacher's lounge, which is next to the boys' bathroom. And you can stare out from the teacher's lounge at the wall where I put some of my students at if they don't need to use the bathroom. And there wasn't a teacher there. And I was torn, but I said, I have to go. That's not happening. So I decided I needed to go. So already two of my students were heading towards the bathroom. Maria, was the oldest, she was heading towards the bathroom. And then there was Gabriella. And so I was about 10 feet behind Gabby. So by the time I got into the bathroom, the girls were already in the stalls. So I went into the stall and I tried to do my business, but I get super shy and I actually have to wait until the girls are done. So I listened to Maria and Maria finished in the stall and she washed her hands at the sink and she left the bathroom area to go into the little vestibule area that leads either upstairs to the higher floors for the older grades or goes back out to the hallway where I had all my students lined up at. So she finished after she got her paper towels, and I'm assuming she went and lined up, of course. Then Gabriella left her stall and went up to the sinks and started washing her hands. And she went out and she grabbed some paper towels, and I heard her finish her hands and walk out of the door of the vestibule, out to where the rest of the kids are lined up. Now, Gabby is, and I love all my students, and Gabby is just a big ball of sunshine, but she is super, she can be super goofy sometimes, and she loves to play jokes on me. So I preface this to let you know, like, that's the kind of student she was. She is. So when the girls finally left, I was able to go, and then I finished up in the stall, and I walked to the sinks. And while I was sitting there washing my hands, I could hear somebody by the door, like, walking back and forth and, like, kind of touching the knob a little bit. And I was getting really upset because Gabby was having a great morning and she was really doing her best to, like, keep herself under control and just, you know, stay focused. And I was upset. So I was getting ready to give her, like, read her the riot act, like, you know, Gabriella, this is not how you're supposed to behave. You're supposed to be a representative of our classroom. So I walk out and I'm facing the dispenser, but I'm about to, like, do a quick look over to see if I can catch her. And when I did my quick little look, she wasn't there. But what was there was this big, like, it was white. Whatever it was white. It was like, I don't want to say it was mist. It was more like light, like a white light, like a flash of it. And then as soon as I, like, looked over, it was there, and then it just went out the door. And I just kind of turned my head fully and kept walking to the dispenser. And I don't know, at that point, I just remember being kind of, like, shocked. And I walked up and, like, dried my hands and thought, what was that? So I dried my hands and I had to think fast. I was like, if that was Gabby, maybe I'm just, you know, seeing things. If that was Gabby, I need to make sure that, like, I catch her and nobody collaborates with her on her lying to me or anything like that, because she knows she's about to get in trouble. So when I walked out, the first person I spoke to was Maria. And I said, Maria, how long has Gabby been standing out here for? And she was like, Miss Turner, she walked right out after me. And the way that she said that, I know when a student lies, yeah, I can tell it. You can just tell, especially with Maria. And then Gabby turned around, she's like, what's wrong, Miss Turner? And then Maria had this concerned look as well. It must have been written all over my face that I was not okay. And I said, it's fine, everything's fine, we need to go down to lunch. And they're like, are you sure you're okay? And I'm like, it's completely fine, let's go. So I walked my students down to lunch and I got them ready to sit down at their table and everything. And I went back upstairs. I went into the teacher's lounge and I just sat there, and all of my teacher friends started coming. And I turned to two of them, Debbie and Auburn, and I said, I think I saw a ghost. And Debbie, she was born and raised in Camden and had moved out of Camden when it started to get bad, she was like, that does not surprise me at this school. She's like, doesn't surprise me at all. And Auburn's face, like, dropped white. She's like, well, you know, I have problems all the time upstairs. And I look at, she goes, all the times I will lock my doors and they're wide open in the morning and the fans are on. And we don't have a janitor at night. That's the thing. Our janitor leaves when we leave the school. Nobody's there at night at all. She's like, all the time. The fans are on, the lights are on, the doors will be open. So I was sitting there a little bit longer, and the sister Rosemary came in, and she, Auburn turns to her and she's like, Sister Carmen had something happen to her in the bathroom. And so we told her, and sister said, she goes, all the time upstairs when I stay late at night, like if she stays about 5 o'clock, because her convent's not too far away from Camden, she drives from Kensington over the bridge to Camden, she says, I'll hear things going on in other classrooms. And I just try to think positive and keep positive. And I like to talk to them and tell them that I'm going to pray for them and everything like that. And that they're welcome in our school as long as they're a positive and good force and energy. There's other things like that have happened. Like a few times we were sitting in the lunchroom, and I know that the door of the closet in the lunchroom is opened up by itself a few times, but I've always just chopped that up to wind and everything, because I would rather it be wind than to have a ghost watching me eat lunch. But Anyway, I just really wanted to share that with you too, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I hope that your daughters have a great school year. All right, bye.
Again, the ghost in the bathroom at school. You know, we've heard that a few times, and it's, I don't know why. Is it because kids like to play in the bathroom, and so ghost kids like to play in the bathroom?
Does it go back to the whole, it's water?
Yeah.
I mean, we hear a lot, you know, even outside of schools where, you know, the ghost or the activity seems to originate around the bathroom. You know, but if you had to take all the ghost school stories and then make a little pie chart and go, okay, where in the school are the ghosts being seen? You know, it's like, okay, well, this piece of the pie is cafeteria. This one is in the classroom. This one is in the hallway. This one's in the gym. This one's in the bathroom. How big of the pie piece would the bathroom be?
I'd say at least 2/3.
Yeah, it would be a big piece of that pie.
Yeah, it would.
So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but it's, I don't know. It's funny because I remember, and they're not so much this way today, but you know, the schools that we went to, at least I'll speak from my perspective, and you can speak from yours. You know, in the 80s and the 90s. The ones that I went to were not brand new schools. They were probably built in the 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were towards the end of their lifespan or towards the end of the cycle before they were about to be remodeled of some sort. Mm-hmm. We were like typically at the end of the cycle, it seemed. And a lot of them were pretty cheery. You know, even though they were kind of older buildings, they really did a good job in a lot of them to try and make them, you know, feel happy and welcoming within the halls. But the bathrooms were always... It's like, this is area time forgot.
Yeah, I would say that was the case for some of my schools too.
And it was like, it was such a harsh, dramatic difference mm-hmm. from the other halls to the bathrooms. It was almost like you thought you were in a different building. But a lot of the schools, you know, now, like we just toured, you know, our older school the other day, and even our littlest ones, you know. You wouldn't, you know, you're in a nice, safe, it doesn't, mm-hmm. they don't have that feeling anymore no. a lot of times, at least some of the newer buildings,
yeah.
you know, I think the cycle is in a lot of places kind of better, but it really depends on the building you're talking about. But, so when I envision some of this stuff, I envision a kind of that dark, dank, scary place, but a lot of these are not so much that it's, I think it doesn't have anything to do with that. That's just the aesthetics.
Well, here's a thought, you know, they don't seem to remodel the bathrooms as often as they remodel the rest of the school, probably because they don't want kids to feel comfortable and linger in there.
Sure.
But could that be a reason that a ghost feels comfortable in there is because it's the only part of the school that looks the way they remembered?
That's an interesting thought. I mean, where the rest of the school, it's updated to the current time, but the bathroom still looks like it's 1974.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought because we talk about that a lot, of that being a comfortable thing for ghosts coming out in places where they feel at home in their own time. Mm-hmm. I could see that. I think that's a very good observation.
Thank you.
Thank you for that one. And thank you for sending that story in into us on your smart device. We really do appreciate that. Phone number 855-853-4802 at Real Ghost Stories Online. So what the hell is up with these clowns? This is in Greenville, South Carolina. Police in South Carolina, this is according to WTNH News 8. And when I first got this story from several people, I did a little research because I wanted to make sure this wasn't like some bullshit story.
Like the Green Bay clown where there's a reason.
Well, that was a news story, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was real. That was actually happening. It's just there's a lot of fake websites out there now that actually are built to look like TV news station websites where it's like, News Action 4 or what, and that the station doesn't exist. It's just a bullshit website. So people who aren't investigating or digging one step deeper just think, oh, this is real because it was posted on Facebook. So it must be legitimate.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure that was not the case, but this is actually a legitimate story and quite messed up. So anyway, police in South Carolina are investigating after they received several reports of clowns attempting to lure children into the woods near an apartment complex. According to People.com, residents of a Greenville apartment complex have reported that a group of clowns acting strangely have mysteriously appeared in the nearby woods. Police say the first sighting happened on August 20th when an anonymous caller reported a suspicious character dressed in circus clown attire and white face paint enticing kids to follow him into the woods. There you go. Next day, there was another report that a child had seen the clowns in the woods whispering and making noises. When the child's mother went over to check, she said she too saw multiple clowns flashing green laser lights in the woods. Another resident says about 30 kids came to her and told her they saw the clowns as well. Several children also told the deputy that the clowns were trying to lure them to the woods by displaying a large amount of money. Same week, another woman told police that when she was walking home to her apartment around 2:30 a.m., she said she saw a large clown figure with a blinking nose standing under a light post near the dumpsters. The clown waved at her but did not harm her, she reported. At this point, we have not found any information or evidence to corroborate anything. I'm not saying it's not true, but we haven't found any evidence yet. That's a Master Deputy Drew Pinchero of the Greenville County Sheriff's Office told People magazine. The apartment complex sent out a letter urging residents not to allow children to walk alone at night in the neighborhood. Police have also searched the area and have told news outlets they will continue to investigate to prove if the allegations are true or not. Pinchero says every time we have gone out there, we have not seen any clowns.
But there's too many people that have seen them. I mean, there's something going on. You wouldn't have all these people just randomly, hey, let's go pretend there's clowns in the forest.
The thing is, the fucked up part about this whole thing is, if that's like one of the creepiest things, maybe it's just me because I've always hated clowns. That would like make me as a child run the other direction.
Yeah.
If you were some creepy, you know, messed up person, I mean, this is where you hear the person in the van with the puppies mm-hmm. or the candy. Wouldn't that be what you'd lure the kids away with, not dressed up as a clown? Or do a lot of kids enjoy clowns? Maybe that's just my perception because I hate clowns.
I don't know. I think it's 50-50. Either like them or you don't.
It just depends. Some kids may go, oh, clowns, great, neat. Let's go to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
My only... because no kids are missing. No kids have gone into the woods. Thank God. My only other thought on this could be completely off base, could be completely not true, and I can't imagine that anyone would go to this length. But there is a new It movie coming out.
It's like a...
some sort of fucked up stunt. That's pretty messed up. I mean, you know, we wouldn't lure kids. My only thought, I mean, would be if this is a stunt and they really weren't luring kids. They were just trying to get people to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And kids happened to be the ones who reported it.
Mm-hmm.
And then... it kind of, the story grew from there of they were offering money or things of that nature. Because you'd have to get pretty damn close to the clowns.
Yeah.
If this witch is off in the distance, you know they're offering money. So I don't know. I mean, my only thought is that maybe this is a horrible stunt gone wrong where it starts getting reported to her kids when they're really just trying to be, get reports of clowns in the woods. Like their whole purpose was just get attention of these mysterious clowns off in the woods, and now it's kind of turned into lure kids.
And if that's the case, if it is a stunt,
they should come out and say it.
Exactly.
They should be like, look, this went wrong.
This is not at all what we meant.
Yeah. Nobody's trying to lure kids. We're sorry. Some kids saw us. We were not trying to lure them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what this was. I don't know.
And the fact that that hasn't happened tells me that this isn't a stunt. This is something that is just wrong.
Yeah. I mean, and the only reason I say this is because there's been screwed up stunts like that in the past several years.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and not that they've necessarily gone wrong, like, if this is what that is, but there's been things from movies or this or that that people are like, what the hell is this? And they know they're going to get social exposure.
And they're a little bit either insensitive or ignorant in their way they do it.
Exactly. And they don't realize, oh, they don't connect the dots on how this may be taken.
Like the one TV show that decided to put swastikas all over a subway.
Yeah. What the hell was that? That was that stupid show. Yeah, that was, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's someone pretty ignorant that's in charge of the marketing for something.
Completely out of touch.
And I'm wondering if that could be, I don't know. I would hope that if that was, they would go and calm this down, take whatever heat they need to take for it, but at least it would calm down those poor parents
mm-hmm.
knowing, okay, there's not really
clown pedophiles
in our woods.
Yeah.
And it was just a stunt gone wrong. I don't know. It's rather messed up, but there's been so many reports of clowns lately in the news. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that'd ever be a statement?
Yeah.
So many reports of rogue clowns in all different parts of the country freaking the shit out of people. But there has been. But at least in some of the other cases, they've been explained. Mm-hmm. So I hope this one gets explained in a good way and doesn't, you know, turn out to be something dark and horrible. But who the hell knows? You just got to be vigilant these days. So,
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Joanne at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Tony. This is Joanne from Clear Lake City, Texas. I love your show. You both are totally awesome. And Tony, you are hilarious. I have my children listening and they think that Tony is just a hoot. And I just love the way you keep Tony in line, Jenny. Okay. I have a story that happened to me, my mom, and my husband, a few years ago. At the time, my husband was my boyfriend, but it's been quite a few years ago, but it's like three stories, so it's about a Ouija board. So this happened about 20 years ago. My mom had bought me a Ouija board, and one Sunday afternoon, it was a beautiful fall Sunday afternoon, I was in my bedroom with my boyfriend, and we were sitting on my bed, and I said, hey, let's play with the Ouija board. And he's like, okay. You know, the windows were open, so a beautiful breeze was coming in, and there was no TV on, there was no radio on, so I brought out the Ouija board, and my mom walked in. She said, hey, what are y'all doing? I said, we were gonna play the Ouija board. And she said, okay, I wanna play. So we're like, all right. So we all put our fingers on the planchette, and my mom went ahead and started asking questions, and she said, is anyone there? The planchette moved and said yes. So my mom asked, who is it? Who's there? And it spelled out girl. So my mom asked it, are you a little girl? And it said yes. So my mom said, how did you die? And it spelled out drowning. So my mom asked it, where did you die? And it spelled out bathtub. So we all looked at each other and we're like, oh, okay. Kind of getting like kind of freaked out. And my mom said, bathtub, how did you drown? And she said, like, who drowned you? And it spelled out mom. And my mom asked, your mother drowned you? And it responded, yes. So we were kind of getting creeped out, and my mom asked, does your father know? And it said, no. And so we're like, oh my goodness. And my mom asked it, are both your parents still alive? And it said, yes. So my mom asked it, so your father thinks your death was an accident? And it went to yes. So my mom was getting really, you know, okay. She looked at me and she looked at my boyfriend. She was like, okay, I think we need to stop. So I said, okay. And so she told the Ouija board, okay, we have to go. And the Ouija board went to no. And my mom said, we have to go. We have things we have to do. And it kept saying no, no, no. And so my mom said, I promise we will return. So it spelled out okay, and so my mom said goodbye, and then it went to goodbye. So I put up the Ouija board and put it away, and then certain things happened in the apartment that we were living in where we played the Ouija board. We lived on the second floor of an apartment complex, which was really, it was a new apartment complex. So I didn't know what had happened to my mother until we moved out of the apartment complex. because my mom, I found out later that my mom didn't want to tell me because she didn't want me to be afraid of being alone in the apartment complex. So there was things that happened to me that I didn't tell my mother for some reason. I don't know why I didn't tell her till after we moved out as well. And my mother was saying that she was looking in the mirror, putting on her makeup, and she saw a little girl run by, went from one side of the room to the other in front of the mirror. And my mom was like, okay. And so we lived on the second story. So my mom said this little girl ran from the window to the hallway, not the hallway, towards the window, where you think that somebody would come in through the front door and walk down the hallway and run towards the window. No, this little girl ran from the window towards the hallway. And we had an alarm system, so there's no way a little girl would have went up the window, because we were on the second floor, and she would have heard the window open, and she checked the windows and they were locked. So my mom, she said she stepped back and looked down the hallway, and she called my name, knowing that I was not home and that I was at school. So she called my name and she said, Joanne, and nothing. So she went looking around the whole apartment and nothing. The doors were locked. It was latched, everything. The windows were locked. So she just left it alone. So with me, my boyfriend was over one day and he was in my room watching TV. And I said, hey, I said, do you want a sandwich? And he said, yes. So I walked over to the kitchen and I started making sandwiches for us. And then I heard someone call my name, Joanne. And I was like, yeah. And I knew it wasn't my boyfriend because it did not sound like my boyfriend. And so I was just like, yeah. And then nothing. So I continued making the sandwich. And then I heard again, Joanne. And so I put down like the butter knife on the counter. I said, what? Nothing. So then I stomped over to my bedroom and then I walked in, I opened the door and I yelled, what? I told my boyfriend, and he looked at me and he was startled because he was not expecting me to barge in and say, what? And he goes, what? And I said, you keep calling my name, I told him. And he said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. You keep calling my name. And I knew he wasn't, because that was not his voice. And he was like, no, I'm not. I'm like, okay, well, you need to come with me to the kitchen, I said, because something crazy is going on. So that was that. That night, we didn't hear anything else. So then a couple of days later, he had bought me a cute little puppy. It's a real tiny little puppy. And we had a little spongy round ball that was bigger than her that she used to play with. And she would throw it up in the air because it was kind of lightweight. So, but it was, you know, it was bigger than her, but it was real light and light enough for her to throw it in the air. So she would throw it all the time up in the air and she would play with it. And it was like her favorite ball. So one night, my little puppy, Charlie, was sleeping next to me. And she was right up against my arm, like almost by my shoulder. She was a little bitty thing. I mean, like the size of my hand. And she was up against my arm. And we were like knocked out. And her ball was like on the floor. She always kept the little ball on the floor. So all of a sudden, I feel the ball. I woke up because the ball hit me. I mean, it was like somebody threw it. And it bounced off of me and hit my little dog, Charlie. So I opened my eyes like, what the heck? And I felt the ball right there on the bed. And then my dog just like got so scared and went right under the covers. So I was just like, okay. And I went back to sleep. And in the morning, I asked my mom. I said, Mom, I said, did you throw Charlie's spongy ball into my room? Was it like in the hallway and you just chunked it into my room? And she was like, no. And I was like, okay. And she said, why? I said, oh, no reason. So I never even told her. I don't know why I didn't tell her. So I was just like, okay, I never said anything, moved out, you know. And the only reason why we wound up telling each other was because I wound up telling someone about our Ouija board story, and my mother overheard, and that's when my mom told me about the story of the mirror, and that's when I told her about the other two incidents that happened in the apartment. But after we moved out, my mom wound up selling that Ouija board in a garage sale to one of my aunt's sister-in-laws or something like that. And other things have happened throughout the years that actually have happened, like to my mom, that involve a little girl. That, you know, there's always a little girl around her. So I wound up contacting Tony Cipro, who is Ed and Lorraine Warren's son-in-law. And I messaged him on Facebook because we're friends on Facebook. So I wound up messaging him on Facebook and telling him my whole Ouija board story and telling him everything that happened. And he gave me some insight on what to do and all that. And it was pretty interesting. But there's a lot more other stories that I want to tell you, but that's for another time. But I just wanted to tell you this little Ouija board story, which is has always stuck with me throughout the years, and I will never get a Ouija board again. My kids have asked for them, and I'm like, absolutely not. Do not even get a Ouija board app on your phone. Just don't even get it. So just wanted to let you know that's my story, and y'all have a great one. Thanks. Bye.
I guess I was unaware of Ouija board apps.
I didn't know that either, but it makes sense. It's kind of like Ghost Radar, I guess.
Should I look it up and
no.
see? No. Get a couple?
So if the ghost is refusing to let you go, to basically let you end the session, can that just then, it always stays open?
I honestly have never heard of that one before.
Because the little girl did not want them to go.
I would think that you are the one in control of closing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to just kind of stick with that. But unless it's something, you know, I think you open that door, there's really no true way to completely close that door.
Yeah.
You can try, you can do the correct measures, and that should probably hopefully do better.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if it's a strong enough spirit, just like if it was a strong enough person, a hotel chain lock is only going to stop so much.
Sure.
And that's, I think, about the strength of, I'm closing the board,
mm-hmm.
depending on what you have on the other side of that. So that, I think, might be what you're dealing with there.
Okay.
But I would like to hear what some of the things that she did that were suggested to him by Tony.
Suggested to her.
Yeah. And what was done and if any of it worked or, mm-hmm. or whatnot. So please do call back and share more of that story. We'd love to hear it.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experience with us. Is there a specific call that we absolutely need to play in this episode pertaining to the title of the show, or have we hit it?
There is a specific call.
Do you know which one it is? 5 minute, 8 minute, 4 minute, 3 minute?
I think 4 minute.
4 minutes?
I think so.
Okay. Caller at 563 area code?
I think so.
Okay, let's take a listen. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. I'm a new listener. I just actually started listening 2 days ago. My name's Brandy. I'm calling from Wapello, Iowa. I have three different stories to tell you. One's comforting, which one I'll tell you now. I have a scary one, kind of creepy, and then I have just a weird, unexplained one. The one I have that's comforting is my son was born 9 years ago. My grandma was a very healthy woman, but she believes in the afterlife. And 2 weeks before my son was born, she got seriously ill and into the hospital, and she died in the hospital for 2 days, died from her lungs. Before she had passed, she was telling my cousin that she was in fear for my baby. I was 9 months pregnant, due any day, and she was in fear for his life and was just so worried about him, and she had died the next day. I had given birth a few days later when my son was born. He had problems with his lungs. They had air carried him out of our hospital and to the University of Iowa, where he was in there for 9 days. He's all good now. Kind of weird thinking that maybe she had a part of keeping him safe, and we always had weird things going on in our house. We lived in her old house, and my son's room was in her old bedroom. And never eerie, never a creepy feeling. It was home. And in that bedroom, My son, he never cried. He would cry if we had him in our room at nighttime, but when he was in his own crib at night, he was a good baby. Never, ever crying. Nothing like that. And thought maybe she was in the room with him, comforting him at night, where we didn't have to get up. And then when he got to be about 14, 16 months old, we were sitting in the living room playing with him, and he just stopped what we were doing and started staring into the dining room. Big open rooms. Everything was all connected. He stared in the dining room and was watching intensely. It was coming, something was coming towards him. And he was still staring at whatever it was as it entered into the living room. The lights had dimmed down in the living room, which really kind of creepy, but again, no big deal. He watched it go into our room, and then from off of our room was his room, and he got up and followed it, whatever it was he was watching, into our room. He turned around, looked back at us, smiled, kept going into the dark bedroom, and ended up going into his room and started giggling. We followed him, and all I can assume was it was my grandma. And once he got a little bigger, he seen a picture on the wall, and he says, "That's Nana." He's like, "Yes, bud, how did you know that was Nana?" "I see her. That's my Nana." And he has grown up by then now. You know, he's, again, 9 years old. We are no longer in that house, and we don't feel her anymore. But in the house, we did feel a calming presence, and it was amazing to have her meet my son that I never thought she would actually get to meet. Thanks, guys. I'll call back later. Bye.
And it makes you wonder, when he gets older, how much he's going to remember of her since he had these visits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there may be more of a connection there to where you can talk about her and he's like, "Oh yeah." You know, it's like he almost had a living relationship.
It's one of those where it could end up being, you have the conversation, "Oh yeah, no, she didn't die before I was born."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "You know, no, she really did. I can guarantee." "No, I am. And then start recalling all these vivid memories of her.
Yeah, she played Legos with me all the time.
You just don't, mm-hmm. but you don't have the perspective for it because you're a little kid and you think this is normal. We've had that.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. Thank you for sharing that with us. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, guys. I really enjoy the podcast. Been listening for a while now, and it's really entertaining. And I have an entertaining story for you. And it's not so much supernatural. It's just really freaking scary. So anyway, my name's Kevin, and I'm calling from New York, originally from Massachusetts, but the story took place in Houston, Texas, and that's a pretty big spectrum across the board, so it's going to be pretty cool. So here we go. So I took a vacation down to Houston in the summer of 2000 to visit my aunt and cousins for a week by myself. And one night, I walked downstairs to get a glass of water, and the whole place is pretty much pitch dark and you can't see a thing. And I'm walking through the living room and down the stairs and through the areas of the house to get to the kitchen. And out of the dark, I hear peek-a-boo. And at this point, all the hairs on my body just stand on end. And it really freaks me out. So I try to let it go. And I go get my drink or whatever, and I'm coming back, and I hear peek-a-boo again. And this time I'm going, "What the F?" You know, like, what's going on? Who's saying peek-a-boo and whatever? And I'm walking around trying to find the source of this noise and who or what is calling out to me. And I go to the corner of the room to where the voice is calling out, and it's again saying peekaboo. And I find the light switch and turn on the lights, and again it goes peekaboo, and I can't see anything, I don't hear anything, and I can't for life figure out where this is coming from. So the next morning comes around, and I go, I say hi to my family and all that stuff, and the day is getting started and everything, and I go to my aunt and family and I say, yeah, I heard this voice last night coming out of the dark, and it was going peekaboo, and it really freaked me out. Is your house haunted or anything like that? Should I be nervous? And they go, oh, you don't have to worry about that, because that right there over there is a Big Bird doll, and it speaks when you walk by it, and if you cover its eyes and you open up the eyes, it says peekaboo. It's a motion center doll for my cousin Riley. At the time he was just a baby, and that scared the living crap out of me, and to this day I've been getting hell from them ever since about it. And to this day I will not own any doll, I will not mess around with dolls, voice activated or not. And I just think talking dolls and dolls in general are really creepy. So I just wanted to share that with you. I love the show. I listen to it daily at work and otherwise. And keep up the great work, you guys. And I hope you all have a happy Halloween. And your show is pretty awesome. Thanks so much. Again, my name's Kevin. And there's my story of the talking doll. And it really creeps me out. All right, guys. Thanks. Bye.
How often do you think it happens where there's what someone thinks is a paranormal activity?
Mm-hmm.
And there's never the clarification given, even though someone else may know the answer to it. Or they're just unaware, so they can't give it because no one's ever asked for it. And then it just goes into being a ghost story for that person for the rest of their life.
Probably pretty often.
Yeah.
But the reason I think there's a little more to this is because you have to cover that doll's eyes,
mm-hmm,
and then take it off for that thing. It's more than just walking in front of it.
Sure.
I mean, something was
triggering
it.
It's almost like we had, you got rid of it.
I threw it away.
Because, well, it was missing a lot of pieces anyhow. But there was this this toy we had. I think we've talked about it on previous episodes. It was a magnetic baby-type puzzle toy. You know, you put a boat in it, this thing, or a whatever.
A train. It makes train noise.
Yeah. But we discovered that depending on where it was in the house at the time, if you turned a light switch on or off, and this thing is not a plug-in toy, it just the waves of electricity in the wall would trigger it, and it would make the sounds go off.
Mm-hmm.
Of a train or what have you. And it's really weird because it was nowhere near like the wall or the outlets. It's in the middle of the room, but it just kind of shows how those waves can travel and trigger things. But I suppose that in theory could have been part of it if somebody was flipping a light switch on or off and that just happened to be the trigger.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think sometimes other presences may use those things as well as a means of communicating or a means of making themselves known, even without obviously someone flipping a light switch.
But what he has to worry about now is, now that he has this terrible, terrible fear of dolls, is something using that just to mess with him.
Sure, sure. I could see that. I almost wanted to just take the little clip of him going, peekaboo.
Because that was kind of scary, too.
It was creepy.
Sorry.
I'm just going to keep that and just use that, like, randomly on the show from now on. It's like when it'd be like another bunk bed bell. It's like, it's time for a peekaboo. And then there you go. Thank you for sharing the story. We do appreciate it. Let's get another caller and hear your real ghost story.
Hi, Tony. And Jenny. I am calling because of a sleep paralysis that I have once had. Probably, but thought I'd share it anyway. I am a hardcore skeptic. I want to believe more than anybody. I listen to your show. I absolutely love it. Watch every ghost video on YouTube possible. And I just haven't seen enough to believe. I've used Ouija boards hundreds of times. It has never moved an inch, not once. I've had a lot of trouble with using them, and nothing ever happened. So anyway, on to my story about the sleep paralysis. I was 17 years old, and I came home from school early one day. I laid down on the couch and fell asleep. And I woke up to a cupboard opening, a cup hitting the counter, and then the cupboard closing again. It was very loud, and I figured my dad was home for lunch. So I laid there, and since I wasn't supposed to be home from school, I thought I was in trouble, so I laid still. Well, then I heard the footsteps walking around. You could really tell where people were walking in the house. And when the footsteps got right in front of me and nobody was there, I tried to move and I couldn't. Now, for some reason, I could sense that whatever it was floated up in the air and then tried attacking me. So I prayed and it moved away. Well, it did it again twice as hard. I prayed twice as hard. It went away. Well, it happened a third time, same thing. Came in a lot harder. I prayed a lot harder. And finally, I was able to struggle, jump up, and ran out of the house. However, I found out years later that it's proven that, you know, you're half asleep and dreaming when that happens. So anyway, that's my story. I love what you guys are doing, though. I really do. And I really hope to find something one day that gives me 100% proof. Y'all take care.
You know, I still will always be in the camp of there's more to sleep paralysis than just being in between the sleep and awake state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's different for everybody, but there's a lot of people that have a very similar type experience. And it just, it tells me that it's kind of like it preys upon your fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand how that can just be diagnosed as, oh, that's just sleep paralysis.
Because it's the easiest thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, with something like that, there's a lot of diseases out there or disorders where it's like, we don't really quite have a name for this. It's a lot of these things, so we're going to lump it into this category.
Yeah.
And then later on, they discover and the technology advances, like, oh, actually, this is kind of this.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this is kind of that. And I think that that may be some of that with sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
You know, where it's a lot of things we don't quite understand. Is there just legitimate, you know, stages of sleep where you can get stuck and there's absolutely nothing paranormal going on and you're thinking there is? Sure. Is there stages where there's certainly something else going on and something else is going on? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they're so damn similar. It's hard to link the two unless there is those other factors in there that can be linked, which sometimes exist.
Yeah.
So it's just very hard to tell the answer to that, you know, in a lot of cases. So thank you for your story, and thanks for listening to the show. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, you like what we do, you want us to stay on the air, continuing to do this podcast, well, then help us do that by becoming an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. That's what funds the show and keeps it going. $5 a month is all it is. You get 100-some bonus episodes of the show. All for you. Best ghost stories we get in are on those EPP episodes, just one after another. You just binge away on that. Also, of course, exclusive video content and more. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. So you sign up for that. We greatly appreciate our EPPs. And if you're not one yet, check it out. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.